All right, well, good morning, church. All right. So much happens in a week, huh? You guys paying attention to New York? Yeah. Who wants to move to New York? There's an actress, Deborah Messing. Do you guys know who Deborah Messing is? Right? Will and Grace back in the day. And stuff like that. Anyway, she's anti-Trump, but she's unapologetically a leftist Democrat, right? But she's also Jewish, and she lives in New York. And she said very bluntly, she put it across on her socials, that if you're voting for Zohran Mamdani, then you voted for an actual communist jihadist, a literal Karl Marx quoting America-hating jihadist. She put it right out there on her thing. She said, there is no gray area here, right? And Zohran said after he got elected, he goes, I'm going to dismantle capitalism. You know why he wants to dismantle capitalism? Because capitalism is the enemy of communism, right? So, and one of his interns said that electing him is part of the holy war and part of jihad, and the jihad's their fight against the enemies of Islam. Why would electing mayor of New York be fighting a holy war against their enemies? You can figure that one out on your own. It's anyway, it's part of their worship to Allah. So I don't know. Maybe New York's going to be a ghost town soon. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen over there. There's a quote by Nikita Khrushchev, or at least it's been attributed to him. And it says that Americans, he said, are so gullible. He says, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding it to you in small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find out you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands. He said that like how many years ago? People weren't taking him seriously, unfortunately. I'm going to predict by the next presidential election, pretty much the entire Democratic Party is going to have embraced socialism with both arms. And actually, I think it's already happened, but I'm just trying to be nice. But anyway, let's get into the message. We're in James chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 22. It's an applicable message in our days and in the times we live in. What we have remaining here in James chapter 1, 19 through 27, is the context, it all works together. It's basically one section, but you can't do it in 1 week. So we'll finish James chapter 1 next week, but today we're going to read James 1, 19 through 22. And 22 is actually kind of like, I always refer to it as a swing verse. It is a perfect verse to wrap up the preceding verses as well as kick off the verses that come after it. So verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word and I thank you for the truth that's found in these scriptures right here and how applicable they will be, and they are, to the times in which we live and to the days in which we walk and to the conversations that we have and everything that's going on around us right now, Lord. And you tell us how to behave, how to be mature as Christians in these type of situations. And I thank you for it. And I pray we don't do the opposite of what's said here. And I pray, Lord, that we'll listen to your word and go deeper into your word and let it be the foundation of what we do and say. So I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it or not, these last section of verses are really like a they're kind of like a way for us to keep our sanity. Because we live in a world that's growing more insane each and every day. And we're in the last days, right? We've been in the last days for almost 2,000 years, since the creation of the church, basically. So the advice that's given to us here by James is, in reality, what he's telling us here is about how for us to keep our sanity in check as we continue to step into and walk through and live in and be a light in the midst of a world that seemingly is getting more insane. Because what this has to do with is our spiritual maturity. And as the more mature we are, the more honest we are going to be, not just about what we are seeing and dealing with and going through, but the more honest we are going to be about ourselves, and the more honest we are about ourselves in the midst of this, the less we are going to deceive ourselves. You see, the problem, and we're not going to get into a lot of this today, but the warning here about not following what James is referring to, the advice that's given to us in God's word here, about hearing and doing. See, this is about hearing and doing God's word. So we're going to be talking today about hearing God's word. And next week, it's going to be more about the doing of God's word. But the warning is, verse 22, that if we're going to spend most of our time being doers, but not hearers, because hearing is what comes first, we're going to deceive ourselves, okay? And self-deception, I mean, there's a lot of deception in the world today, right? A lot of deception in the world today, but self-deception, where we deceive ourselves, is a big problem as well. And that comes the more immature we are, right? Because the more mature we are, we're going to listen to what's being said here. We're going to listen to what James writes here here in verse 19, where it says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We're going to take that to heart. We're going to try and apply that and follow it. The more mature we are, the less mature we are, the more immature we are. We're going to be like the Church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, for example. The Church of Laodicea says, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Right? Because they were self-deceived into thinking that they had it all. But God's like, no, you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's how we get when we're self-deceived. And so this last section of verses, today you can consider part one, next week will be part two. This is really describing two different people. The contrast is between two different people, between the mature and the immature. So maturity comes, and we see that contrast between those two different types of people by just looking at the key points as you look through those verses. Right? Maturity comes when we're going to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Maturity comes when we're doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Maturity comes when we keep oneself unstained, as it'll say later on. But yet immaturity comes when we deceive ourselves. Immaturity comes when we don't understand that our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Immaturity comes if we don't bridle our tongue, we deceive our hearts, and therefore our religion, it says, is worthless. So that's the warning in the midst of these scriptures. And it starts with verse 19, let every person be quick to hear. It starts with listening. Now, if I was to take a poll right now and ask how many people here are good listeners, What? Huh? What did you say? Here's the problem. Here's the problem about the world we live in today. This is why this is so applicable. The problem today is that we live in a world where everyone wants to speak and no one wants to listen. Right? Because everyone loves the sound of their own voice. So how many of us are good listeners? And no, don't go, husbands, don't go asking your wives. Maybe we should ask your wives. How good of a listener are you? But, how many of us suck at listening because we're too busy talking? How many of us just pretend we're listening, yet our thoughts are thousands of miles away, somewhere else, right? So the solution here, or the advice given to us by James right here in God's Word, says be quick to hear. It starts with listening. It says be quick to hear. It's the very first thing it wants you to do, right? Not be quick to speak, not be quick to react, not be quick to condemn, not be quick to attack, or whatever else you may come up with, but be quick to hear, right? Hearing's got to come first. It's not a coincidence that Jesus is quoted as saying more than once in the Gospels, he says, what? He who has ears, let them hear. Right? It's not a coincidence that God can speak in a still small voice, in a gentle whisper, as it were, that you need to be listening. Right? But if you're like me and you read this verse, be quick to hear, your first question might be, hear what? What should I be listening to? What is it that I need to be quick to hear? Right? My wife, my kids, the in-laws, right? YouTube evangelists and prophets. I mean, what is it that I'm supposed to be quick to hear? I mean, there's a lot of voices speaking today. There's a lot of noises chirping. There's a lot of static on the airwaves. What is it that I'm supposed to be quick to hear? Because like I said, we live in a world where everybody wants to speak and nobody wants to listen. What should I be quick to hear? Well, that's where verse 21 and 22 answer the question for us. And part of the reason why I put verse 22 in there, it tells us. In verse 21, it tells us to put all this filthiness away and receive with meekness the implanted word. And verse 22 tells us, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. So what it is that you're supposed to be quick to hearing is God's word. That's what you're supposed to be quick to hearing. I would argue we live in a culture today, I don't think it's that much of a stretch to say that the majority of the world does not want to hear God's word. They aren't quick to hear God's word. But I would also say, sadly, that there's a lot of churches out there today with a lot of people in them who also do not want to hear God's word. And I'm not going to rag on churches that have 85 services on a Sunday, but just how long do you think a service can be if you have so many? You don't have time to really get the word out. And people have gotten a culture today where we want everything really quick and really fast, and move on to the next thing that we need to do. You don't have time to digest it. You're not getting a meal, you're getting a snack. And snacks are great because I love donuts. And someone brings lots of donuts, right? They're getting on my Christmas list. So we love those type of things. But as far as an actual healthy meal goes, those are bigger and they take longer to get through. If you ever sit down for a big family meal that has 85 courses and there's 300 people there, you don't just eat that in 15 minutes and move on your way, or you shouldn't, because you probably didn't eat much if you did. But churches today are even quick in falling for this lie, which is we just need to get move them in, move them out, move them in, move them out, move them in, move them out. But we need to slow down. We need to be quick to hear. We need to be prepared to listen. We got to train ourselves to come hear and God's word and let God's word implant itself in our hearts so that we can grow from it. We need to be ready to do that first. That's the first thing we need to do. Right? Because as it tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we got to listen to God's word. We got to listen to the Spirit of truth. Not to the father of lies, we got to listen to the Spirit of truth. Right? The world's listening to the father of lies, who masquerades himself as an angel of light, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, right? The world's listening to the deception that comes from Satan. Hey, a little interesting bonus point. You can use this for, I don't know what, Bible trivia. What do Mormonism and Islam have in common? Anybody? No? They both claim to have received their revelations from an angel. Right? According to legend, Muhammad was in a cave praying when he was visited, supposedly by Gabriel, around 610 AD, and Joseph Smith was visited by an angel who directed him to, you know, that buried book of golden plates or whatever it was in 1823. And so those visitations resulted in Islam and Mormonism, okay? Both religions worship false gods because Allah is not God, as some say, Allah and God are the same. No, they're not. Do some homework, right? And the Jesus that they believe in is not the Jesus of the Bible. And the same with the Mormons, of course, right? They teach, the Jesus they teach about is not the Jesus of the Bible. So both of these religions teach, worship false gods. So their teaching are in contrast to the gospel. And Galatians 1:8 says, Paul writes this, it's a very bold statement if you think about it. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Oh man, it's like Paul knew what was coming. You know what's amazing about that statement is that it's incredibly, like I said, it's an incredibly bold statement. I don't want to go too far off down this path because that's not, you know, rabbit trail. But it's as if Paul knew what the future would bring. And I would tell you, that would dare any pastor to get up and say that today. How many of them would? How many pastors would get up here and tell you that the gospel I have taught you, if anybody should show up, whether it's me or an angel from heaven should show up and teach a gospel contrary to what you've already learned from God's word, then let them be accursed. Because today, pastors are changing the gospel they preach every Sunday. Can you imagine if an angel showed up? Or someone was like, hey, pastor, Galatians 1:8, you said, you know, that if you should, oh, well, no, see, I didn't change the gospel. What I did is a new revelation in what we're going to, you know, and they're going to go through this whole him and ha and him and him and him and him and him, trying to explain to you how they didn't change it. It's a very bold statement from Paul. Considering where Paul was in this relationship and how much Paul had to grow and everything that Paul would learn after he said that, for him to say, if anybody would show up and preach to you a gospel contrary to what you've already learned from God's word, let him be accursed. Anyway, get back to James. Be quick to hear the word of God. Problem is, a lot of us today are dull of hearing. A lot of people in the church are dull of hearing. They don't want to be quick to hear the word of God. That's what the author of Hebrews writes. He's like, we have a lot to explain to you guys, but it's very difficult and hard to explain it to you because you're dull of hearing. You can't come into church and you can't go into God's word and you can't do your study if you're going to be dull of hearing and not quick to hear God's word. Listen, you have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen more than you speak. We actually need to train ourselves to listen completely to the whole story before we give an opinion on a matter. And that's difficult for us to do. We need to train ourselves to listen to God's word. We need to jump at the opportunity to do what? To listen. Not speak, listen. There's a little story in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And David was hiding in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was at Bethlehem, and David's thinking to himself, but he speaks out loud. I don't know if you remember this. He goes, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. I mean, he's just kind of thinking about where he is and thinking about what he wants. He's like, oh man, I would die for a cup of water from the well that's by the gate of Bethlehem. And he's just kind of speaking that to himself. Well, some of his mighty men heard him, because they were listening. And what did they do? They broke through the camp of the Philistines and they drew water out of the well of Bethlehem and they brought it back to David. Now, David wouldn't drink it. That was a different story, right? Okay. He poured it out to the Lord. He sort of gave it back to God. But the point is that they were quick to hear. Right? When we are quick to hear, when we listen before we speak, when we listen with the ears that God's given us, then he will give us a chance to minister to others. All right? We will hear a need and we'll have an opportunity to fulfill a need. All right? There's a quote by someone, I don't know who said it, but he said that most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply, which means we only are listening so that we can rebuke you or contradict you or argue with you over the fact we're not listening to actually find some way to help you or care for you. We just want to argue with others. We just want to speak over others because we like the sound of our voice, right? But if we do so, we're going to miss those opportunities to love on others and help others and care for others. Let me brag on my wife for a second. She's downstairs. She can't get upset at me. This week, she was able to raise enough money. She started a week ago today, actually. But she raised the money in just a few days to help a neighbor pay her mortgage and land rent for the month. You guys remember Jackie. And Jackie passed away. And Jackie's daughter now is trying to handle everything, but Jackie's daughter lost her job. And so during all this time of dealing with her mom's ailment and all the loss and everything, it was, you know, it's been difficult for her. And Julie goes up there and checks on them all the time. And because Julie is quick to listen, not speak, Julie heard of the need. And Julie put it on herself. She said, I am going to raise money. And I'm just going to put a note out, and anybody in the neighborhood who wants to help, and anybody who in the church who wants to help, I don't know how far she sent the note out, but within a few days, she raised more than enough money for her to pay it. And she went up there, and she gave her a card, and she gave her the money. And Jackie's daughter couldn't believe it. She didn't really know what to do or what to say, but you don't have to say anything. My point is that Jackie's daughter and us, we don't share any of the same beliefs. We're not on the same page about anything. Not one thing, right? Right? We don't share any of the same ideologies, worldly speaking. It would be easier for us in these positions just to spend that time arguing with one another about what we disagree on. Or not even going up there at all. Right? It would be easier for us not to listen and just shove it aside because we don't agree with these people. But if we had done that, we would have been disobedient. We would have been a terrible witness, and we would have missed the opportunity to love on our neighbor. Which brings me to the second point of that verse, which is be slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, I want you to understand that this does not say do not speak. It says be slow to speak. In the culture we live in today, in the world that we live in today, too many people are not speaking when they should be speaking because they're afraid to speak because of what other people are saying, or they're afraid of what other people might do if they do speak. But it's not saying don't speak. I just wanted to say that up front. It's not saying don't speak. You need to speak. You absolutely 100% need to speak. Speaking's important. You have to speak the truth of God's word. You need to speak boldly. But you also need to understand that you need to listen first. Okay? We need to understand also why we need to listen first, which is what the Bible tells us. Jesus mentioned this, for example, in Matthew 12. He's speaking to the Pharisees, right? How can you speak good when you're evil? He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is one of the dangers of us speaking, is what's coming out of our mouth. Where is that coming from? Well, if we're listening first, being quick to listen to what? To God's word. And we're letting God's word implant itself in our heart. Then maybe when we speak, what's coming out of our mouth is God's word. That would be my hope, right? Unfortunately, if we're not quick to listen first, and we just are quick to speak, possibly what's coming out of our mouth is not God's word. It's not based in God's word, which is why Jesus warns us. right? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we're going to be warned later in book of James, right? Fast forward to chapter 3. We're not there yet, but he says in chapter 3, he says, so also the tongue is a small member, right? It's a little bit of your, just a tiny part of your body. Yet it boasts of great things. And we can all probably testify to the times that our tongue got us into trouble, right? Because of what we said. It says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Speaking of fires, I watched this new movie on Apple TV with Matthew McConaughey. It's called The Lost Bus. And he plays a school bus driver who drives a school bus full of kids out of a raging fire, right? He drives them out to safety. And it's based on this true story during the 2018 campfire, they call it. It's the deadliest fire in California history. And he's being pulled back and forth at the beginning of the movie by all these voices, by all these people speaking to him. He's got his son, who he doesn't have a good relationship with, who wants to go back and live with his mom. He has his ex-wife, who thinks he's pretty much a good-for-nothing and can't even take care of the son, who's also ragging on him. He's got his boss, who he works for, who doesn't think he's really much good for anything either, because he's never back to the, you know, to the barn on time with the bus, and he's always late to getting it fixed, and he doesn't turn in his hours on time, and all these things, right? They're just pulling him back and forth, and he's always trying to do his job, but yet, okay, I gotta stop and pick up some medicine for my mom, and I gotta do this, and I'll go, if my son's not answering the phone, and all these things, and he's just being pulled back and forth, and he's just upset, and he's usually angry most of the time, and when he speaks, he isn't listening a lot. He's not really good at listening. He's good at speaking, but he's not good at listening. He just speaks, and that's why he has a fractured relationship with his son, and this is why he's divorced, and this is why his boss is mad at him, because when he's speaking, all that's coming out is venom, really, right? But then this fire starts, and this fire is raging through, and this fire jumps, and it's quick, and next thing you know, they think it's a little fire, it's a big fire, next thing, all these towns are in danger, and holy cow, they get to the point where they're like, we can't fight this fire anymore, just tell everyone to evacuate, right? And so they're trying to get all these people out of the town, and there's this one school with like 22 elementary kids, and their parents can't make it because all the roads are blocked, and they got to get the kids out of town, and the lady just picks up the thing, and she's like, any bus in that area that it's empty, any bus that we have can pick up the kids, and he hears the call. But then he comes into this battle, like this fight within himself, and usually this is where the fight starts. It starts here with us. And he's like, no, 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 no. And I don't know if they intended this scene in the movie to be so emotional, but honestly, this was a really emotional. I mean, I was breaking down and saying, I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh. And it's just a simple scene where he's like, he puts his head down on the steering wheel and he's just like, no, no, no. Because what is he fighting with? He's fighting with all the voices in his head that are pulling him every direction. And who's he going to listen to? Who's he going to be quick to hear? Does he go try and find his son? Does he go try and find his mom? Does he go get the medicine? Is he arguing with his wife? He's putting his head down on the ceiling. He's like, no, 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 no. Because he's hearing the voice that says, rescue the kids. And he just puts his head back up. He stands up straight. He picks up the phone. He says, I'll get the kids. The operator, the radio operator, his boss, her face changed like from night to day in that scene. And she's like, if you go get those kids, I'm going to love you forever. Right? And he does. He goes and gets the kids. It wasn't an easy, I'm not going to spoil the whole movie. They all survive, okay? But yeah. Darn it. I wanted them to die. I wanted the bus to burn. No, they all get out. But it's not easy. It's a tense movie. It's a tense moment. But here's the thing. All the frustrations, all the voices, all our anger can get in the way of us making the choice to do the right thing because we can't hear it. Everything else is clouding it out. If he had let all these voices, he might not have ever heard that. He might have ignored his boss because he was just like always pushing her off because he couldn't get back in time. Like she's like, you're late, you're late, you're late. Right. Well, it turns out him being late was exactly what was needed because he was the only one in that town who could go get the kids. But all these things get in the way of us making the choice to do the right thing because we're not quick to hear in these moments. We aren't even slow to speak, and we let our heart and our prideful emotions get the best of us. Which is why Paul writes in Ephesians 6, he says, pray for me. Pray for me when I speak. So that when I speak, I proclaim boldly the mystery of the gospel because Paul understood what the Bible says, which is whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So you want a cool calm, collected spirit. You want to be speaking the word of God, not the word of man. That's the idea. So we got to listen first. We got to listen to God's word. We have to understand his word. And when you speak, and trust me, you're going to have to. You're going to have to speak. Eventually, you're going to have to speak. You're going to have to speak the truth from God's word. So don't let your emotions rule your tongue. Don't let your emotions override your brain, right? Don't fly off the handle. Which brings me to the third point of that verse, which is be slow to anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Slow to speak and slow to anger go together. Because generally, when you're not slow to speak, what are you speaking? You're speaking out of anger. Right? So it says slow to anger. Anger is never a proper response. Peter was slow to hear. Right? He was slow to listen in the garden. Right? He was quick to act or react in anger, you could say. What did he do? He cut off the soldier's ear. That was his response. Anger is the opposite of patience, for example. Right? And the Lord would rather have us be patient and patiently listen, as that's a sign of our maturity in Christ. Now, sometimes what we're angry about, and if we're looking at the context of what this is talking about, because this is saying, let every person be quick to hear. Quick to hear what? God's word. Right? Slow to speak, and slow to anger. What would we be angry about? Well, maybe some of the things that we're angry about is God's word. Maybe the anger that you're dealing with has to do with people's reaction to God's word. But you shouldn't be angry about God's word. I understand that God's word can interrupt our lives and that it, you know, it's a two-edged sword and it divides, it cuts really clean, right? And that doesn't feel good. And yet, that shouldn't lead us to anger. It shouldn't lead us to anger. We shouldn't be speaking our frustrations and our anger to God. They shouldn't be about God or what God is doing. But yet, that's how a lot of people speak. But it's because we don't listen. We're not quick to listen first to God's word. Right? Even Christians get angry at God's word. But as I said earlier, we live in a culture that doesn't want to listen to God's word. Right? They don't want to take the time to actually listen to it. They don't want to take the time to actually apply it. So when God's word confronts them in their sin, they speak out in anger. But we have to be slow to anger. And exactly why do we need to be slow to anger? Well, verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, we can go back and forth on this, but and you may not agree with me. But I am of the belief, personally, that we, you and I, can never be righteously angry. We might think we are righteously angry, but I'm of the belief that we can never be. Because it always, in one way or another, leads to sin. And what the Bible tells us is that be angry, as it says in Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. Do not sin. And maybe you, I mean, you know, I'm willing to believe you if you come and tell me that I'm full of righteous anger and I never sin. And I would probably think you were sinning at that point that you told me that. But I don't believe that we can do that. Now, like I said, I know that not everyone agrees with me on that. But it says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And no matter what led you to be angry, because we should be angry at sin, and we should be angry at the things that God is angry at, and we should be angry when we see the destructive nature of sin in the lives of people that we love and we care for and in the world around us, and we see what that sin is doing. We should get angry at that, absolutely. But where does that anger take us? What's our response from that anger? And that's where we often trip up and go and sin. Our response sometimes, and I would say a lot of the times when we get angry because of these things, is not righteous. It might have been righteous anger that got us angry when we saw these things, but it's not righteous by the time we act on it. So that's why I'm against that phrase necessarily. But we do need to be angry at the things God is angry at and all its permeations, Because a person who can't get angry at sin doesn't have the strength to fight sin, and we have to hate sin, and we must fight sin, so we do need to be angry at sin, but we have to understand that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God at all. So, what do we do with that anger, with that righteous anger? If you want to call it righteous anger, what are you going to do with that righteous anger? Well, you don't want it. It's kind of like a catch-22, really, in my opinion. Because what you want to do is you want to God use you in those situations. You want to give your anger to God. You're like, God, I'm angry about this. Did you see this? And God's like, yes, I saw that. And I'm angry about it too, because I don't like those things either. And you're like, use me to help fight that. All right, I'm going to use you to help fight it. But while you're fighting that, you're going to have to guard yourselves against sinning at the same time. Because that's a very thin tightrope to walk. But James gives us a blueprint here to help us mature in this. To help us do that, to help us be angry at sin, yet not angry and sin. I haven't figured it out yet, but when you figure that out, you let me know. Because I think our anger often leads us to sin, but yet we need to be angry at sin. We need to help fight sin. So what are we supposed to be doing then? Well, that's verse 21. It says, therefore, right? What's it there for? Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. He's speaking to believers here, right? If this is the problem you're dealing with, your anger is what you're dealing with, if you're not slow to speak, if you're not quick to hear. Therefore, believer, you could put your name in there if you want. Probably don't want to do that, but, you know. Therefore, church, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, that's humility, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is the blueprint. If you want to do what it says in verse 19, if you want to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because you understand that your anger does not produce the righteousness of God, and what you want people to see is the righteousness of God, because you want to lead people to Christ. You want to point people to the hope that's found in Christ Jesus. You want to be an example. You want to be a light in the darkness. You want to be a burnout bulb, right? Then he says, what you have to do is put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Rampant, right? I mean, that just means it's crazy. It's out of control. Rampant wickedness and receive with humility, receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God. When it's talking about implanted, what that really, I mean, you probably understand what that means. That means it's been planted in you, right? It's a seed, it's been planted. Let it grow. You guys know the parable of the sowers, probably, right? You can find it in Matthew and Mark. And Jesus is teaching them about this, and he says, listen, the sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the bird came and devoured it. The birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on a rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, but since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And interestingly enough, Jesus finishes that parable by saying what? By saying, he who has ears, let him hear. So in other words, were you listening? This is what we're talking about by the implanted word. Right? When you received Christ, there was a seed that was planted. But how that seed grows in your life has a lot to do with the soil that it was planted in. It has a lot to do with your heart. Right? So this, what James is talking about here, he's telling you, put away all unrighteousness, turn your back on all on all these worldly influences, the immorality. Close your ears to the lies and to the deceptions. Turn off the noise of the world. Remove this filth from your life. Bring all of these things under control of God's word and under the Spirit of God. And instead, what you should do is receive the implanted word. You should let that seed grow. You should mature in Christ. Let it spring up. Allow that seed to produce, as it says there in Mark, right? Let it yield 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Let it grow, right? That word for implanted can also mean engrafted. And strangely enough, we were grafted in when we gave our life to Christ. But if you're hard of hearing, if you aren't quick to listen, if you're not slow to speak, or if you're not slow to anger, then the growth of that seed can be choked out. So you can't be guided by your emotions, can't be guided by your heart in these things. Right? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We can't be led by our emotions. We can't let our feelings replace our faith here. Matthew 13 says, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." We can't be wandering around with this idea with a dull heart and ears that can barely hear and eyes that are closed to God's word. We have to receive his word and let it grow. I mean, if we are affected or infected in such a way to react emotionally to things without listening first, without being quick to listen, then the bottom line is really this: nothing good's going to come of it. Nothing good's going to come of it. There is nothing good to speaking without listening first or reacting quickly in anger. Nothing. Your response will be contrary to God's word. I guarantee you it will be. So you don't allow your anger to control you. Any emotion that you will allow overwhelm you will be the variable that derails you. So be quick to listen. Understand the matter through God's word so that you're slow to speak and slow to anger. And when you speak, then speak from the truth of God's word. But it starts with hearing. Hearing the word is not the only issue, but also practicing the word, doing the word, has to come with it, which is what we're going to discuss next week. That's verse 22, right? But to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So what it's telling you is that if you don't do this, if you're listening but you're not doing, then you're deceiving yourself. Self-deception is a huge danger. And you might say, well, how do we deceive ourselves? And I would be like, man, let me count the ways. But how much time do we have? And then I would tell you none, because that's going to be next week, and I'm not going to talk about it now. But understand this, that we as Christians, through the help of God's word and the Holy Spirit, can be quick to listen. We can be slow to speak. We can be slow to anger. Matter of fact, we can channel the anger into action and take our outrage, and we can use it to point people to the hope and the salvation that's found in Jesus. We can do this, but it has to come through the help of God's word and through the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own, not at all. But it can happen, and it starts by listening. It starts by listening to God's word. So listen. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word, and I pray, Lord, that those with ears, let them hear. I pray, Lord, that we can grow like this, that we can mature like this, that we will be quick to listen to God's word, and we will be slow to speak, but yet still speak when needed, and we will be slow to anger, understanding that man's anger, our fleshly anger, worldly anger, does not produce the righteousness of God. So I pray, Lord, we can be a light in the darkness, that we can stand against sin and fight against sin and point people to the hope that's found in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for this, Lord. I pray you just continue to work this out in our lives. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.